Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown are made for Melbourne. The Chrissy, Sam, and Brownie podcast.
Here we go, Melbourne. It's Monday. You made it through the weekend. We're ready for another week. Sam Pang, who's usually here, will be back on Wednesday from Stockholm. But in the meantime, we have the delightful and legendary Tony Martin.
Yeah, where is Sam? Why am I here? Shouldn't he be back by now?
He is not back now. He is in transit. He's travelling.
Is he really?
Yes, allegedly.
What's that all about?
I know.
Okay, look, I don't know. There was some fragrance ad I heard on the way in out of the lift. I'm sorry, it's a bit of a faux pas. I'm not wearing Brownie by L'Enferique. I don't know if you can tell. I'm wearing Dippia Domenico. I think it might have passed its use-by date.
Hang on, I thought it was Barassi that you were wearing.
Oh, that's a very old bottle. Pang, what is he doing? We've got to determine. We've got to find out what he's doing for these 2 days. He's in some kind of...
Oh, he's in some sort of tacky vortex, isn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly. That is the nicest way to say it.
It's the longest flight home in history. Yeah. It's about a 72-hour flight.
You can
home.
Contact him at the Tacky Vortex in Elsternwick.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Yeah. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Got your own hot air balloon. Yeah. See, in mine, it was just people just throwing packets of Stimerol out of the back of a van.
Stimerol. Tony Martin, you have the best references from a bygone era.
Yep.
Stimerol.
I am.
Do you remember Spurt?
What? No.
You don't remember Spurt?
A look of alarm from your producer. Is that, we're assuming this is a product.
Alarm? A look of familiarity. Spurt. It was this wonderful... bubble gum,
right?
And you'd bite into it, and it would spurt. It would a flavour like a syrup.
That just sounds like a recipe for lawsuits. It's good to be back in the most livable city, in Australia. Here's a sight. Here's a sight I saw in the most livable city in Australia. Weekend before last, I'm on the 78 tram going down Chapel Street.
Yeah,
buskers. At the exact moment I turn and look out of the tram, I see a busker. Throw up into his own hat.
Oh, my goodness.
The hat with the money in it.
No.
What was your very first thought?
Spewy coins. Spewy coins.
Spewy coins.
And I told a friend of mine this. He's gone, maybe that was the guy's act.
Yes.
But if you need a second hat if that's the case.
That is a unique act. My friend once spewed into her handbag. Because she was out at a party and she started to feel sick.
Oh, no.
And she just said, excuse me, whack.
No other option.
Into a handbag.
Yeah.
And then went home straight afterwards.
And then went home straight afterwards,
We do need to point out that this is not a phone-in topic. It's not what have you spewed in.
It's not 13, 24, 10. No, it's not.
Now, I see back in the most livable city, there's a lawsuit going on involving a theatre restaurant involving witches and britches.
Witches and britches. Ooh. What's happened?
Now, it's a series. I mean, it sounds funny, but it is. There was a serious injury, so I've got to walk a fine line here.
Okay, sure.
Somebody walked into some medieval stocks and they're injured. And now it is a serious case, but I love how the newspaper article is accompanied by hilarious photographs of werewolves offering you a chocolate pudding. But I have to say, I'm quite serious. I hope that this case... does not result in the closure of yet another theatre restaurant.
Me too.
Because we are losing so many.
So many.
When I moved to Melbourne in the mid-80s, I think there was something like 85 theatre restaurants. There was Nero's Fiddle with Up Your Toga out, I think, one turn away. There was Bunratty Castle.
Bunratty Castle. There was the Swagman, which was sort of, that was a theatre restaurant.
The only theatre restaurant visible from the moon, I think.
I've never been to one time.
Dirty Dicks. You've never been to
Dirty Dicks?
Dirty Dicks and eaten meat with your hands.
Rembrandt's? Like did that have a theme? Rembrandt's?
That was just Rembrandt. I remember going there and thinking, oh, they've named this before. They've looked up Rembrandt on Google Images. Because they've gone, oh, we need a classy painter's name. Rembrandt. Yes. Let's call it Rembrandt's. And then somebody's gone and got some Rembrandt's and they're just like doomy, gloomy Dutch. No one wants to be eating a nice chocolate pudding while a vicious archbishop is looking down at you. But, you know, if we lose, you know, this, what is it now? We've got Dracula's.
Hunchbacks, is that still
Hunchbacks
around?
Hunchbacks is gone.
It's gone.
I think that's available. I think you can buy. You could move into Hunchbacks.
Imagine if we moved into Hunchbacks, broadcasting live from Hunchbacks.
That'd be great.
Welcome! Table for two!
Well, that needs to be photographed and put on the website. There's the Titanic in Williamstown.
Oh, my God, that is next level crap, isn't
it's turning a famous tragic disaster into a wonderful three-course meal. I think that's to be applauded, personally.
I agree, actually.
And then you've got, is that it? Is that the list?
I think that's it. Unless you go out to Crowell Castle.
Crowell Castle, do they serve a meal?
It's for sale too. It's for sale, Crowell Castle
as
well.
It is for sale.
They're trying to turn that into a brothel, aren't they?
But they're trying to do something with
it. Straight out there.
Hang on.
A medieval brothel?
A brothel with jousting.
Game of Thrones is very popular.
But I just, if Witches and Breeches go down, I just think it's going to be, you know what I mean? I don't want to live in a Melbourne where I cannot be served a bourbon and coke and a chicken parmigiana by a bloke dressed as the mummy singing a Thirsty Merc song. That's not my Melbourne.
I am with you. 100%.
One man. Many questions. 100% honesty.
I wouldn't expect anything less from the Brisbane Lions captain.
Have all the answers.
I ran on me face.
Ask Brownie.
He's a bit of a ripper, our friend Brownie. He's a ripper.
Yeah, I've discovered the something of a film buff. That's what I've learned over the last week. So before I get to my question, who was Arnold Schwarzenegger in Red Heat?
Ivan Danko.
Who was Dolph Lundgren in the Rocky, was it four?
Ivan Drago.
Okay, here's one for you, a new one. Who was Mickey Rourke in Iron Man 2?
No, I didn't see it.
Ivan Vanko! Another one
for
the
list.
That
is a rip-off. They've ripped
it off. So many Ivans.
Something original, but you've got to call a Russian Ivan.
13, 24, 10, what's your question for Brownie? He'll answer anything. He's a Renaissance man. Mm. Relationships, real estate, science, dugongs. Anything.
Do you know, actually, the Mexican dugong is nearly extinct? There's only 60 of them left.
What?
This is what I mean.
It's like David Attenborough's here, isn't it?
Amazing.
Brendan, you there?
Yes, mate.
Brendan from Sunshine, what is your question for Brownie?
All right, why is a chili called a chili when, in fact, it's hot?
I've always wanted to know.
Good question.
He's thinking about it, Brendan. I'm going to talk you through his expression. Sort of, he's like a cattle dog that's seen a lamb shank, but he's not allowed to have it.
That is a bloody good question.
That gives you an idea of the expression.
And by the way, that's a good question. Is not him filling while he Googles it.
No,
I can assure you.
No, we're not allowed to Google here.
No, it's not Googling.
I just can't stop thinking about that bloody lamb shank.
I'll tell you what,
I can't go anywhere with that. I think he's stumped.
What? Wow.
No. I think he may have stumped.
Why is a chili called a chili when it's in fact really hot? Is the one question that Brownie can't answer, Brendan. Yeah. There's a prize. You've caught him out. There's a prize for you. Let me see what we've got here.
See, now stump me cold. Tone, can you help me with this?
No, I'm now thinking about the lamb shank.
Brendan.
I think Ivan Shanko was the bad guy in The Last Boy Scout.
Hey, there's $100 for you from Sage Institute of Fitness. 1-300-664-664, and you can spend that on lamb shanks or whatever you want there, Brendan.
Well done, Brendan.
Well done, Brendan. You got me.
Done
well
it.
Done.
Let's see if we've got some better luck with Mike from Macclesfield. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good. What's your question for Brownie?
I just want to know how they came about picking the colours for the traffic lights.
Picking the colours for the traffic lights.
So red for stop, amber for... Yeah. What does amber mean? Does it mean...
Yeah.
Get ready to stop or speed up.
I love how you're listing them as though they might have changed. As though they might have had a rebrand.
We do know what colours are, Chrissy.
You never know. There might be a couple of listeners that don't know. And that's my job there, to make everything easier.
Well, I suppose because the original stop signs, the stop signs still currently, are red. And obviously there would have been stop signs before there were traffic lights, Chrissy Swan. So stop signs may have started maybe 150 years ago.
Okay.
So they decided, for continuity, so people don't get confused, let's make it the same colour as the stop signs. It'd be no use having the stop light
yes.
green. Because otherwise people would just drive straight through.
Okay, so why did they choose red for the stop sign then?
So that is... that was not the question. He asked the traffic lights, okay? So all they are doing is they are copying the stop sign for red.
It's got me on a technicality.
Yeah. Amber is sort of... You know, if you're sort of close enough, we're going to let you decide. Yeah, you know, sort of a bit of a toss-up. You're running late to work. Yeah, you know, it's close enough to green.
Or is it almost red? Like, is amber? No, I would really love to know.
Chrissy Swan, I'm a glass half-full man. So if it's, you know, if it's close enough, just speed up, just bang straight through.
Okay. So amber is almost green. Me, amber is almost red.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my problem in life.
Well, you've got to be careful where all the red light cameras are.
Why green?
Well, green's just takes you back to a place of happiness when you're a child growing up, playing out on the grass. You know, when it was just a free-for-all. You can run around in the nude if you want. So green is just the universal symbol for just go and have fun. So let loose. So
Mike,
there you go.
Mike, is that an answer or?
Yeah, it's all good. That's good.
Yeah, I thought it was good too, Mike. Go on, you mate.
So if the light turns green, take all your clothes off.
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's Celebrity Stuff.
Huge weekend at Eurovision. If you missed it and you've been missing Sam Pang, if you've got a pang for the pang.
I hear he was attacked by a Sasquatch, Brownie would say.
He is. That's why it's taking him 4 days to travel home.
Right, Tane, what is a Sasquatch?
Well, it's Bigfoot.
Ah, there you go.
Is it not?
It's a Yeti.
The Yeti, a fictional... It might just be a bloke wearing a car seat cover.
Yeah.
But there was a photograph taken in the 70s.
I think that's exactly what it is. And let's talk about the Eurovision competition. Now, Pang was vintage Pang. High-level Pang was being experienced at Eurovision. Here's an example.
We are now off to Azerbaijan.
Yes, we are. And I say this every time, but the national symbol of Azerbaijan really should be a cigarette. We were there in Baku, that place. That really was just on fire.
Classic Pang.
It was on fire.
Well done, Pangy.
This.
Look out for the giant hula hoop with two people in it.
Yes.
Two kids who proved their parents wrong, Julia, earning a living by devoting their life to the hula hoop. That is an inspirational story.
I know, and it works.
It does work, Julia's mirror, whatever that means. Hey, so Dummy Im finished with 511 points, and for the longest time, we thought that she was going to win because she was over 100 points ahead. Mm-hmm. Then...
After the jury...
The jury vote.
The experts...
Yes, and then they had to spoil it all by taking into consideration the public vote, and that's when we came second. But that is a great effort.
Yeah, well, that would make sense because obviously no one in Europe is going to vote for an Australian.
But they did. They did. A lot of people voted. Yeah, well, we came second. We still got up there, but not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough. We didn't lose by much, but next year's our year.
Had won, would it have been in Australia or would it have been in like Switzerland
One
of those neutral countries?
It wouldn't have come to Australia.
Would we officially be part of Europe if we had won?
We would have had to change our currency to the euro. Wow. So I, for one, am glad that we didn't win.
And did Sam Pang pick this? Was he, you know, did he know how it was going to play out or?
No, he doesn't know anything about anything, Tony.
Yeah, well, that's why I guess. He's the orchid, as Brownie revealed, that was his nickname.
It's bright like, 'cause the weekend is over. I want to know right now about the footy.
After the siren,
Oi!
The goal is the only thing that matters. Lloyd from 45 to win the game. He's got it. The Tigers have won by a point. A kick out.
Oh. Here we are. How good was that, Big Brian?
Yes. Wasn't bad at all. But what a great weekend or great round of football. You got the pressure valve probably released on two coaches,
yes.
Hardwick and Buckley. The return of Dangerfield to Adelaide. Got the chocolates
that
as well.
Huge.
Shock horror. West Coast winning at home.
Have you
Shock
ever
horror.
Kicked a goal after the siren?
No, I haven't done that, actually. I was very close to, actually, against Richmond when I was playing for the Bulldogs, but I got a little bit of an issue with my hamstring, so I couldn't take the free kick.
Oh,
I couldn't take the kick.
You're one of those late. You laid down. You didn't want the pressure.
Ooh. No, I got cramped up.
Oh,
and,
oh. Yeah, you've got to Just tightened up a little bit, did you?
Take it easy, Brian.
If you've seen my goal kicking, I did kick 5 points on the weekend too. So my goal kicking is not
that's
great.
That's a cheap lead. He just wants to say, how many did you kick? Carolyn Springs.
I kicked 5 points, but I did
How many goals did you kick?
How many goals on the weekend, Lakey?
I did kick 11.
11.
Yeah.
He kicked 11.
Is that good? Is that a good total?
That's a lot.
Brian, I'm really sorry. I don't know very much about football. The only footballer whose bio I'm across is the Orchid. I don't know if you're familiar with the Orchid.
No.
Some people know him as Sam Pang.
Sam Pang. 22 and still when he plays his best.
But the main thing is you're here providing humour, which is something probably Sam doesn't.
We'll see about that.
That's right. You are providing. Hey, the Caro's theme song too. Yes. Carolyn Springs is none other than this one.
Like the tiger roll, we're young and we're from Carolina. Yellow and black.
Tony Martin's face. What is going on in here? It doesn't even know. It gets crazy.
Brian, you don't even know the words to your own theme song.
No.
He was just looking at me blankly like, don't make me sing.
He was Googling them.
I'm lucky when we go into the room, we've got a board where we've got the words up. So I'll just stand in the position where I can read all that. So
now, the story of the season has to be Carlton. Just won their fourth in a row yesterday. I don't know how they won. They kicked four goals in the last 2.5 minutes. Brendan Bolton's got him in great shape.
It's phenomenal, isn't it? And geez, he was excited after the game too. He's on the bench for the last couple of minutes. Ran onto the ground, gave Cade Simpson a nice big pat on the back and on the backside as well. So it's great. You know when he's happy, the big fella, or little fella as he is, Boltsy, you just see his big white teeth. And when you see those teeth, you know he's a happy boy. So you wouldn't have picked it, would you, that Carlton are sitting. If it was better for percentage, they'd be inside the eight.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't read about it.
I've heard some amazing things about Brendan Bolton behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. He's just real... In the AFL environment, this is rare, or certainly the perspective from the outsider's perspective, Chrissy, that coaches are fire and brimstone and they're always giving you a clip or a drive-by if you're not performing. Apparently, Brendan Bolton is unbelievably positive behind the scenes to the players. It's all about positive encouragement and getting the best out of the boys. Is that true?
Well, I think it's just a new generation of the kids these days.
What are you saying, they're soft?
A little bit. I go down and watch the under-17s, and I've got kids myself. You've got to really just caress their egos a little bit more now.
And it's what they got used to with parenting as well. Right. You know, all the helicopter parenting and the respect that, you know, we have to show our children now. When we were growing up, my God. No respect.
Maybe the answer.
No respect for the children.
What about this for an idea? Has anyone thought of having two coaches for a team, having good coach, bad coach?
That's a good idea.
So the bad coach comes in and just all swearing, nothing but swearing.
You useless bastard.
And then the good coach comes in with a fruit platter
for everyone. Hello, darlings. I love it. Yes.
He's providing humour and good ideas.
Good ideas, write that down.
It's Friday. It's the weekend. It's over. I want to know.
Well, Dina, I've just seen something in the ad break. Mm. Big Brian Lake just showing off his briefs and Chrissy Swan didn't she have a moment.
Oh, now, excuse me, we were talking about cut price things for Brian's bargains.
That's it. I don't like to pay full price for everything. And I usually shop at DFO South Wharf, and I was just mentioning the briefs. I'm not usually a briefs man, but I thought for that price I've got to do it.
Well, that's a trunk.
Brownie.
That's a trunk, sorry.
It's a trunk.
I'm usually a jock man, but I went to the trunk. Brian, $2.
You drop your trousers and Chrissy was just like a deer.
Yeah, you needed a fire extinguer.
Yeah, in fact,
her head was about
Brian,
to blow up.
This is true.
I warned her beforehand, but he dropped his pants,
and I heard Chrissy say, "That's a trunk." I'm pretty sure.
Listen, well, Brian, I don't want you to feel. I don't want you to feel sexually objectified at all.
No,
here.
I love it. I love the attention.
What's your wife's name, Brian?
Shannon.
Good morning, Shannon.
Yes. Shannon, good morning.
I just got a quick little...
I assure you, nothing untoward is occurring here, Shannon.
I've got a quick little footy question. It's a football of another code. Mm. Jared Hayne, who used to be a great rugby league player in the NRL, played for the Parramatta Eels. He went over and played for the San Francisco 49ers in the American Football League, which is the gridiron. It just announced this morning that he is retiring from the San Francisco 49ers to go and play for Fiji in the Sevens at the Rio Olympics. Does that seem a bit odd, mate?
Unbelievable, I would have thought. Yes, he probably stinked with the Gold Coast, probably didn't go too well either. But
I don't understand a word you're saying.
That was Carmichael Hunt.
That was Carmichael Hunt.
Jared Hayne.
Did he jump in early? Was he about to get cut, do you think?
I think so. But what helps with that as well is he still gets the retirement from the competition as well. So maybe you get the 1 year. So I was just reading up on that on the way here as well through the NFL. He does get the retirement. But I think that only starts at 55. So he's probably just thought, let's just get over here for a year just so I can cash in. This is my superannuation.
There you go. There's a Brian's bargain.
Sweet.
Done.
Sweet.
Sam Brocker does the same thing. Andrew Gaze gets it from the NBA as well.
The military do that.
The AFL does it as well, but not to the extent that the NFL does as well.
Doesn't Sam Pang get a $10 pancake parlor voucher every month based on his football career?
Time for
Hashtag Brian's Bargains.
The most important part of the week, isn't it? Really?
It is, actually. Well, I love it. What have you
just
got?
Just a couple of quick ones.
Yep.
I know Wednesday's your catalogue day, so today's Monday. We've got a couple of days left of it. Coles. I was shopping at Coles this week because they've got the best bargains.
Yep.
You get your value pack Tim Tams, half price, $2.25.
Wow,
that's 330 grams of Tim Tams.
Holy
should have bought some in, but they've already been eaten at my house.
Heck,
Smith's Crisps, $1.60. I've got a fetish for Smith's Crisps.
What's your favourite?
I'm original. I just love the original.
I'm original too.
Boring bastards.
We are connected. $1.60 half price. But the best thing, when I live by myself, I live very close to Village Cinemas back in the day, 2004, and discovered tight ass Tuesdays at the cinemas. So what I used to do, it's $11 now, so you get half price cinema tickets. So if you're going on a date, maybe if you can find one on Tinder.
Yes, big fella. I'm struggling, but thank you.
Take him out on a Tuesday,
okay?
Because that is half price
Tuesdays.
And also,
that's really hot.
But what I used to do, I used to go to the cinemas early, watch the first movie, pay your half price. But I thought, I've got nothing else to do. So I'll hang around for another movie. So what you do, because you're already in there, you can just walk out of Cinema 12 and just walk into Cinema 11.
Brian,
so you really, you're getting half price, but you're getting two movies at the same
time. What? That's
$5.50 a movie.
That is brilliant. Tight-ass Tuesday, you can get around. I went to university for one day.
Yep.
I just turned up for the hour. I went and got my student card. And then I'd get my student card and then go to Tight-ass Tuesday. So it'd be $6. Minus the student fee, I'd get it for $3. That is
you
a bonus.
See,
you've been learning, you've been listening, and you're understanding now how to save a dollar. And everyone needs to save a dollar, let's be honest.
Why stop with just two movies? Why not just take a sleeping bag, move in, you know, a side table, just set up house inside the jam factory?
Yeah, for some reason that's illegal.
Get more Chrissy, Sam and Brownie on Facebook and Instagram. Made for Melbourne. Nova.
Sam Pang back on Wednesday. In the meantime, we've got Tony Martin.
Yes, filling in for the orchid every morning as he recovers in some kind of rehab facility.
Why was he called the orchid again? It's got to do with his football career.
Well, he'd only play well when it was 22 and still. And obviously the orchid only flowers when it's 22 and
love
still.
Love it, love it.
Okay, here's something. On the way in, I noticed that, you know how St. Vincent de Paul's
yes.
is now just Vinny's?
It is just Vinny's, yep.
So because of that, I'm insisting on calling the St. John's Ambulance Service Jonos from now on. So, I think I'm having a heart attack. Someone called Jonos.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Tony Martin's here.
I am. And this is going to be a controversial segment, isn't it?
I believe so.
There's a lot going on.
So much. Last Thursday on Ask Brownie, we got a call from Dee and Dingley.
Yes.
And after you'd finished, Tony Martin, making jokes about the Dingley
powerhouse.
You insensitive bugger.
She asked our beautiful friend Brownie for some advice. This is what it sounded like.
My partner of 3.5 years now is really, really good friends with a girl he was sleeping with before we were together. And I don't know whether it's cause for alarms or not, or whether I should say something or bring it up, because as of recently they've been doing a lot of, you know, one-on-one coffee dates and that kind of stuff.
So Dee'd been with her boyfriend for 3.5 years, a girl that had always been on the scene, a friend. She just noticed a bit more activity. And she was asking Brownie, what should she do about it? And Brownie suggested this.
There's nothing untoward. I suppose it is all right. But it's important that Your boyfriend, D, is very open and honest, so I would bring it up again and just query him. Say, look, there's been an escalation in your activities with your former partner, and that is troubling me. You better be being transparent, open and honest, and then you won't have any surprises.
An escalation of activities.
An escalation. Mm. Well, we've got D on the phone right now. Hi, D from Dingley.
Hey, Chrissy and hey, Brownie. D.
And Tony. Tony's here too.
Filling in for Sam Pang. No, don't forget to say that.
Now, D, it's been a few days since you called us and sort of told us that you had some doubts about your fella, who you've been with for a long time, nearly four years. What happened when, you know, Brownie told you you should confront him? What happened?
So I had invited him over that night, or Thursday night. We'd organised to meet before that, and I told him, look, something I just want to bring up with you. He's been living during the week on the other side of town for work for a few months now, almost half a year, and he's due to come back in 2 months. And I just noticed, you know, during the week I don't see you much, but you're spending a lot of time with this girl. And he said, yeah, you know, we're just friends. Like, I understand that, but you have to understand from my perspective, this is someone you've been really intimate with in the past. And like right now at this stage in our relationship where, you know, we're trying to figure it out, I'm studying, you're working, you're getting through something. It hurts that you're spending so much time with her, but you won't come and spend too much time with me.
Mm. Where was he working first? Was he working in the country somewhere?
No, no. He does rendering on the other side out towards like Geelong or Ballarat, but he stays in an apartment in the city during the week so he can drive there. Because I study 10 minutes from my house.
Right.
It just made sense.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he just flipped. I had never seen him flip so hard, and he got really angry, and he's like, you know, why don't you trust me? You know, you're better than this. We've been in a relationship for this many years. What's wrong with you? And I just went into apologetic state. I crawled off into the corner, and he was quite mad at me. He's like, well, why are you mad at me? I'm sorry. Okay, if there's nothing going on. And then he just said, well, you know, it's hard for me when I'm not living with you during the week. Sometimes I just need a little bit of intimacy. Like, what did you expect me to do? And
here's what I expect him to do. Make the effort and get his ass to Dingley. Dingley is not Bendigo.
I was going to say, it's not that far.
When the city to Dingley? Come on.
Even though the Monash needs an upgrade.
No, this is serious. Sorry, this is serious.
Dee, just to be clear, he did confess that he had been sleeping with this girl.
Dog.
He said since he moved up that way, because she lives in South Bank near him, that they'd been catching up and it just happened multiple times.
Wow.
And it's just, I guess in hindsight, it just hurt. First, I knew she lived there, but I didn't really think of it. Mm. But also, I offered to stay with him and catch a train into uni every day, but he said, oh, you know, he doesn't want to inconvenience me because I live so close to uni.
Oh, man, look, if it's any consolation, hearing you talk, does it take everybody back to being 20?
Yes. Mm.
And that, you know, just navigating the minefield of jobs and uni and relationships and public transport, all that sort of business, D. Would you have said anything had Brownie not said confront him?
Not at all. We had some issues pretty early on in the relationship. Like, I mean, he's a little bit older than me. I was 17. At the moment, he's like 26, so he's about 5 years older than me. And we kind of weirded that out at the start, and I just wanted to really, really trust him. And he's really helped me, like, grow in all parts of my life. We're going overseas. We're going overseas at the end of the year. And, you know, he was talking to my parents about potentially getting engaged
Is it over, Dee? Is it finished with you and him?
I mean, it was never explicitly stated, but I haven't answered his calls all weekend, and I went out way too much.
A little steam.
Some steam, bit of rebound. Dino?
I can't help here.
Can't help here at all? Well, I'll tell you what, Dee, here's another little bit of advice. You're 21 years old. The world is your oyster. Yep. Get out there and enjoy it. And there's plenty more reptiles out there like Dino that you might be fortunate enough to run into. But just go out there and enjoy yourself, because I'm at home now. I'm married. I've got the backpack. I've got the handbrake at home. I've got the three kids. And I tell you what, you are living the dream, Dee. Because things slow down very quickly.
What was that, Dee?
I just want to thank you, Granny, and Chrissy, and Tony.
Thank you.
Oh, bless.
I wouldn't have done it, and I don't know where I would be if I hadn't done it.
It is better to know. I'm going to say that. It is better to know than to not know.
Exactly. Well, what are you thanking Tony for, knowing where the Dingley Pear House is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's pain now, but it's good news from here on in.
And there you go. Something good comes from good Ask Brownie. Good on you, Dee. And if you ever need anything, call us back, because we love you. Yeah. So just call us whenever you like.
That's right. And we are, of course, axing Ask Brownie. That's now being replaced by a new segment called Let Brownie Destroy Your Relationship.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
And if you've just tuned in, Dee, of course, one of the callers, opening up her heart on radio, and me just making a few cheap jokes from the side. So I apologise if anyone was offended. But I feel like let's bring people back together. Let's talk about love and marriage.
Let's.
Yes. Earlier in the show, did you guys, on the way in, I heard you talking about how there's going to be an actual Las Vegas wedding chapel within Crown Casino.
Correct.
Is that like a gimmick, or that will be an
it's
actual...
It's a thing. It's an actual thing. And it's amazing.
I'll be marrying him off. Renewing their vows.
Because I was married in Las Vegas at the Little White Chapel.
Were you?
Yes, I was. I think it cost $75.
And what happens? Like, was Elvis there, or is Elvis
optional? There were two Elvises. There was the young Elvis or the old Elvis, and the young Elvis took it a lot more seriously and was it was another $10, I think.
So what did the Elvis do? What do they do, these Elvises?
Karate.
These Elvi?
Mostly karate during the ceremony.
Karate.
Mine was the one where they have
an old Elvis here, sit in the corner and eat a hamburger.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's so romantic. I got married at the one where you have the drive-through window. I didn't get married there. That would have been tacky.
No.
They have a drive-through window, and then I think if you want to get divorced, you proceed to the second window.
Oh, you're a lot classier than that, Tony Martin.
But, and then what I always remember is that happened in San Francisco, came back to Australia, and Tim Burton, the film director, was on the radio, and he just made the film Mars Attacks.
Oh, yes.
And so I told him about my wedding in Las Vegas. He goes, where did you get married? And I go, the Little White Chapel. And he goes, I blew it up in Mars Attacks.
Oh, my God.
And I should have taken that as an omen. I am now divorced. But what I want to talk about is, just briefly, this story. I know a lot of people were talking about this last week. Did you see this? Bride and groom write to guests demanding adjustment to their gift.
Tell me about this story. I saw the headline only.
This is in England. A pair of newlyweds have sparked outrage after a wedding guest revealed they'd contacted her to say that her gift was not generous enough.
That is so greedy.
The guest gave them a £100 cheque, which, as you know, is about, I think, $20,000, isn't it? And it says that the person then got an email from the couple that said, we were surprised that your contribution didn't seem to match the warmth of your good wishes on our big day.
That is unbelievable. Jeez.
In view of your own position, if you wanted to send any adjustment, it would be thankfully received.
Are they serious? Do these human beings exist in the world?
Surely what the answer to do would be to get a whole lot of diamonds and just make the words get and just send that and go, is that expensive enough?
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
Let's talk Game of Thrones first, because it is Monday and it means it's Game of Thrones Day.
That means it's about 3 hours till someone gets horribly decapitated.
Whee! Correct.
Are you a Game of Thrones man, Tone?
I do. I like it, but I wait. I'd rather watch it at night time.
Really,
these people
can't.
Like that Lake gentleman who was some sort of footballer, as I understand it.
Yes.
He was rushing home to watch it at 11 o'clock. You go, going, you're waiting for a year just to see 10 eps. Don't burn them off at 11 in the morning.
That lake gentleman.
Yeah, I like it. That lake gentleman.
That lake gentleman is sitting out there talking to the girls in the office still. So he would
still
be able to hear us.
Got a terrible pang of jealousy.
That sounds like some sort of metaphor, doesn't it? I'm just going to take a dip in lake gentleman.
Lake gentleman. Oh, there's a line. There's a line there. But
moving
I won't,
on. I've broken your segment, Chrissy. What were you going to say?
Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow,
yes,
who died at the end of last season, and we were all like, "Oh my God, what's going to happen with him?" He has used his cliffhanger for evil and not good when he was pulled over for speeding, and the copper made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
He said, "I have to tell you." Whether I take you into the police station depends on what your answer is. So I looked at him and went, I'm alive next season. And he goes, he says, on your way, Lord Commander.
Best line. On your way, Lord Commander.
He did that. Now, I don't want to give away whether he is or he isn't alive for people who are watching it, but didn't that bloke tell the president that he was actually dead?
Did all sorts of. He lied. Oh no, I've just spoiler alert.
Or he didn't lie.
Yeah,
but
it's
lying
so
to the president, that's a crime, isn't it?
It is a crime. Treason.
Guantanamo Bay, if he's still alive.
That is a brewing excuse. Hey, you know, Michael Jordan used to have to drive about an hour to the games when he was playing for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
And it obviously, traffic would bank up going into Chicago, into the stadium, because everyone was going to watch him. So he would load up his boot with Chicago Bulls jumpers and basketballs, and we're just doing about 180 k's an hour down the emergency lane in his Porsche. And obviously we'd get pulled over regularly and we'd just get out and the coppers would say, oh, it's MJ. And he would give him a signed basketball.
You're joking.
On your way, MJ. All the best tonight.
Yeah, normally I just do a couple of lines from Bar Jar.
Joel Creasy. Chrissy's BFF is here to talk about the Real Housewives of Melbourne reunion show. Here's a quick review. The most truthful thing said on the show was this.
I know people think I'm a dickhead, but, you know.
One more thing. Do you think Alex Perry sleeps with an eye mask sitting on the top of his head?
I'm not a sex worker.
Thanks, Perry. For a more fulfilling review, here's Creasy. Hey.
Oh, that was, here he is.
Hello,
Joel,
good morning.
Now, last night was a big night on the calendar. It was the reunion show.
I'm so depressed. It's over for another year.
Oh, it is sad, isn't it?
I know, because when does Housewives of Sydney start? Because they're casting that at the moment.
They're casting it. Have you heard any goss about that?
No, desperate for a gig on it.
You are?
Yeah, me. Wouldn't I be great?
You'd be amazing.
You could host. You'd be the host of the reunion, I reckon.
You should host the reunion.
That's a very sore point, Brownie.
Oh, my God.
I've been trying for that gig for years.
Next year.
That and the role of Elphaba in Wicked. Both of them seem to keep slipping through my grasp. But no, it was such a good night. First of all, let's talk about their outfits.
Yeah.
Because none of them got it right.
No.
Did you have a particularly good one, Brownie?
I thought Jackie was a bit off.
That mesh sort of caged sort of top.
She was in last week.
And then Chica popped. I know, that doesn't matter, though. Yeah. You know, she's not here now. And then Chica popped a lime shoe on with a pink dress. I don't know what that was about.
I think she's flawless.
I like Chica. I think Chica's great. But you know when you're making a cocktail in the kitchen, you know, oh, no, I'll make you something. I'll make you an original. And you panic and you just put lime in it. I feel like that's what she's done with her dress. First of all, let's start with the reunion starts with them all arriving, all out of makeup, which is terrifying. Terrifying,
really?
Seeing, you know, Janet pre, you know, panel beating.
Did they show Gina without makeup? She's
no, Gina
never
arrives
seen.
Fully done, which
it's
I appreciate.
It's in her contract, I'm sure.
Yeah. Was anyone pixelated? That's when it's bad.
And Gamble's just there. And it takes Gamble, I think, a while to work out where she is as well. She's got the facial reactions, which are brilliant.
Love her.
And then, of course, you know, there was a lot of discussion last night. I think Susie said something, which was exciting.
She did speak last night.
She said something, which is great. She's wearing red. That's her standard. Colour.
She did speak about being a MILF to her two teenage boys. She's driving around in the car talking about being a MILF, and the boys are trying to hook her up on a date.
Yeah.
My mum does that too. I'm like, hey, chill out, mum.
She's married though, that's awkward.
Yeah. I'm like, mum, stop it. I don't need this phone call, it's a Saturday night.
Mum, don't say MILF, say cougar. It's tasteful.
They discussed Joanna. Of course.
Who is, of course, Lydia Chiavello's housekeeper.
And now Susie revealed that she used to be Susie's housekeeper.
Oh, my God. And this is obviously why they've fallen out, because you don't mess with someone else's help.
You don't steal someone's housekeeper.
Oh, my God. Never, never.
No, but I had a few favourite moments. Okay, I'm going to play my favourite clip from last night. First of all, Gamble talking about her prenup and Lydia's appropriate reaction. Here we go.
Well, if you know where you stand, you know where you land. And for Rick, it's really important. He had a hideous divorce, and I haven't had a great run either. And so if I'm in a relationship with a man who's insecure all the time about me taking his money or something like that, it's not the right way to have it. And so it's hard to discuss it without saying, oh, this next time. I mean, you just say dumb things. I don't feel that there'll be a next time. I feel very solid in this relationship.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Your discussion about your prenup with your husband, with your horses, that's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
She had that locked and loaded for 5 minutes, didn't she? And she didn't realise that I think she thought it was going to be beautiful.
Was that Lydia saying that's beautiful?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I do love the line, if you know where you stand, you know where you land, though.
I quite like that.
That is brilliant.
I'm going to use that in my next relationship, which will last all of 10 days. My next one, okay, so of course Jackie did Susie a reading in the final episode. And
Jackie, of course, purports to be a psychic.
Yeah. She's a psychic. And, you know, because she speaks to the angels. And and she knows who Susie's going to meet. And apparently this is the man that Susie's going to meet.
Yeah, so I said she was going to meet a Jewish.
Yeah.
A Jewish.
She's going to meet a Jewish.
Did the sentence end there?
Here we go. Yeah, this is who Susie's going to meet. Play it again.
Yeah, so I said she was going to meet a Jewish.
Yeah.
Jewish, what a Jewish baby.
Just a Jewish. She's going to meet a Jewish.
Just a Jewish.
That's where she ended.
Oh,
she's
going to
meet a Jewish.
God. Well, I'm what you can't see now is I'm pulling a Jackie face.
Yeah. But how dare you, Chrissy, because if you ever question Jackie, she would tell you this.
The angels know everything.
The angels know everything.
Which is terrifying. I don't want the angels to know what I get up to. The angels know what I got up to post-Logies. The angels know everything.
The angels know everything. I think what's terrifying is if the angels know everything and they're telling it to Jackie Gillies.
I know, yeah.
Of all people.
Yeah, about the Jewish.
You did say facial expressions. Who has got the best facial expressions?
Well, Gamble doesn't have any because her face doesn't move.
You've got to whittle it down to those still capable of them.
Yeah.
Jackie, hands down.
And they're terrifying.
Hands down, Jackie.
Absolutely
wins.
Terrifying. But the quote of the night, now it's a two-parter.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Lydia's insult to Janet or Janet's insult back. Let's play this.
Janet,
did you hear it from someone else? I'm asking you a question, you dumb fat.
Again, please,
Janet,
on loop.
Did you hear it from someone else? I'm asking
no,
you
there
a
isn't.
Question, you dumb fat.
Whoa!
Can we just? But like, of course, you know the dumb fat B bit is important. But let's just go with Lydia's insult.
So subtle,
Janet. Go to sleep. What does that mean?
That's the best.
Like when she said, "Janet, eat your own head."
Oh my God! No, suck on your own head.
Suck on your own head
and go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Is the intention that will become a catchphrase and everyone will be saying, go suck on your own head?
Yes.
Royalties will have to be sent to the author.
So good. I'm going to miss it. It's over for another year.
I'm going to miss it. I know. What are we going to do without them?
It must be back. There's rumours. You know, it hasn't been signed yet. It must be back. What do you think?
Well, Chrissy and I did corner Lydia at the Logies and we're forcing her to take us out for dinner. And she's paying.
Yes.
She offered.
Yes, she is.
This was the same conversation which half an hour into it, she did ask me, where's Joel? So. The dinner could be interesting.
Beautiful.
Bar Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for me. Nova 100.
Jeez, you are dulled up this morning. Good
dulled
morning,
up.
Melbourne. You are dulled up.
Yeah.
You got the lippy on?
I thought you said dulled up.
Yeah, dulled up. Dulled well, actually, Brian Lake's in today, so that
is
must
he?
Be why.
Oh, see, okay. I've got no idea who's in from day to day, but usually it's someone very hot. So you alone, Brownie. I've got to put on some lippy. And Dino. I mean, I can't, as you say, I can't look like effing shh every morning like I normally do.
And Dino's got a haircut as well. He's got all dolled up for the week.
You guys reckon I look like a child with this hair?
Yes.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Good.
No, I don't.
Did you have any luck on the weekend with that new haircut?
I did not.
Oh, what?
I didn't.
I'm
just being honest.
No,
I'm working on lonely a... I'm working... I'm working on a lookalike for you. I'm lonely.
You said Ned someone. Working, who the hell are you talking about?
I think it's Ned Beatty. He's the voice of Lotso, Huggin' Bear from Toy Story.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
It's not going to add to your sex appeal, but look, it's good. It's a good likeness. I think you'll like it.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Here's what you're waking up to, Melbourne. Clearly, Dummy Im was robbed of the Eurovision title, but we, as the Australian public, were not robbed of classic Pang as he did the commentary for Eurovision over the weekend. Here's two little nuggets for you.
We are now off to Azerbaijan.
Yes, we are, and I say this every time, but the national symbol of Azerbaijan really should be a cigarette. We were there in Baku, that place, that really was just on fire.
Classic Pang. Where is even Azerbaijan? Where is it? Does anybody know?
It is over in, it's sort of like Russia, one of the Russian countries, beside Armenia.
Oh, okay.
Armenia, yeah. So one of the part of the old Soviet, part of the old Soviet Union.
You are a man of a lot of surprises.
Man of geography.
I love you.
Like an atlas.
Also a bit of this Pang.
Look out for the giant hula hoop with two people in it.
Yes.
Two kids who proved their parents wrong, Julia, earning a living by devoting their life to the hula hoop. That is an inspirational story.
I know, and it works.
That is an inspirational story. Now, Dami did an absolute belter, Sounds of Silence. This is what it sounded like, the big note. Singer Dami. She's so good. And she was clearly the winner. She was before they went to the public vote, which was new, by the way.
That's great range.
She was amazing range. Amazing. She was leading by over 100 points.
What?
So the actual, they put together a panel, every country puts together a panel of experts, and they cast their votes. And Dami was winning by, was it 100 points or 200 points?
Do you know who ours was, Chrissy Swan? 130 points. Do you know who our expert was? The Australian expert?
One of them. I know one of them.
Who?
James Matheson.
James Matheson. There you go.
There was a few others, but James Matheson's the only one I knew.
I wouldn't have thought James Matheson would be the music expert from Australia. So you're going to send someone over, would you?
We're doing the best we can. John Paul Young was busy. And this is who won, the Ukraine. Have a listen to this song. Thanks. I'll just have the trio of dips. I'll have the trio of dips and just the bread on the side. Thank you.
Oh, is that a baba ganoush? Lovely. Yum.
Is that dukkha? Okay, I'll have it.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
Good.
Hummus.
Hummus. A bit boring. Clearly, we don't know where the Ukraine is because we've just been talking about menu items, not from Ukraine. But anyway, that one, I actually don't mind that song. I know everyone's saying that really bad, but I don't mind it. It's a bit sexy.
There's a few political messages throughout too, apparently.
Was there? Apparently. I didn't see those.
It's got people a few offside, but anyway. But I'll tell you what, Chrissy Swan, the main thing I want to talk about is your boys.
Oh, my God, the Tigers.
Are you ready? Finally, after
yellow and black.
Game. If you're not following, Brownie's going to take you through the
moments.
It was
unbelievable. I had to go to Launceston Saturday to do the Hawks-Dockers game, and it was the longest day in history. But I tell you what, it ended on a good note because I came home, sat on the couch, and thought, I can't wait for this. Another Tigers loss, it'll be brilliant. I'll be able to get stuck into Chrissy
on Monday morning.
And bang, they just took a mark right on the siren. Simon Lloyd, about 50 metres out.
Sam Lloyd, sorry.
Sam.
Hey, Chrissy!
You got me. Well done.
Chrissy wins.
Well done. You win, Chrissy.
I can't believe it. Jack's like, what just happened?
Was confused. Simon Lloyd, of course, is Matty Lloyd's brother from Essendon, but Sam Lloyd, the boy from Deniliquin, and it was the first game that his mum and dad hadn't been to. They decided to stay at home at Denny at the pub.
No.
They're such bad parents.
Jeez, the pub would have been rocking at Denny, but if you have a listen to this, Chrissy, it was sensational at the MCG Saturday night.
After the siren, a goal is the only thing that matters. Lloyd from 45 to win the game. He's got it. The Tigers have won by a point.
One point.
One point.
That's all it takes.
tell you what, he flushed it too. Oh. That's what you dream of, Chrissy, as a kid in the backyard growing up. You finally get your opportunity
at the
MCG after the siren.
Oh.
And then he's gone back and absolutely flushed it.
That lucky bugger, that really is the moment that you dream of,
that
isn't it?
That is the moment. I tell you what, I would have been straight out and about that night for a couple of quiet beers. I might have done a ride on Chapel Street, I reckon, on Saturday night after kicking the winner. But that might be enough to turn the Tigers around. Of course, last year they had a shocking start to the year. So
shocking.
Is it going to turn around? So there you go. Well done, Tigers.
How you always ask who was your toughest opponent. For some reason, people always ask me, what's your most embarrassing moment?
Do they?
Yeah, it's absolutely the most common question.
What are you, clumsy or something? Or?
I don't know, maybe because I'm a bit of a fool and people just think, God, how does she choose? How is she ever going to choose what her most embarrassing moment is? But I do have one. I actually do have an answer. And it involved... It was my most embarrassing moment actually happened on radio. And you will, you know, understand it because, you know, we work together and Dino, you've worked in radio for decades.
You've been a long time. I listened to a podcast you did the other day about how your radio career. So it's been a long time.
It has been a long time. It's a miracle. But it has been a long time. But I was at my very first job was on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. And it was, you know, a regional station and in a regional station, you know, you do a lot of jobs. You do everything on your own. So, you know, I was answering the phones, I was doing the talk breaks and then I'd quickly, you know, the mics would be off and then I'd be on the phone going, yes, hi, what's your story? And, you know, organising everything. Anyway, we were doing a
phone. You're like a Dino.
Yeah,
really?
I was like, it's like 8 jobs. Actually, no. The one job I didn't do was Dino's job.
Okay.
My on-air partner guy, he was the PD and Dino and the brekkie guy. He was everything. It's funny. Anyway, so we said, you know, 13, 24, 10, give us a call if your dog has bitten you, for example. And then, you know, take the headphones off, pick up the phone, and Phil is there, and I answer the phone. Hello, hello. And it's a woman. I'm talking to her. She's talking about her dog, la, la, la. And I'm like, okay, hold, Phil. We'll talk to you in a second. Thanks, sweetie. Hold, we're talking to her. We get live on air. Everyone's listening. It's live. There's no delay. And this lady tells me the story about the dog that bit her. It was a really funny story. It was a great call, and I could have ended it right there. Yeah. Beautiful. Neat.
Nice, get out.
But for reasons unknown to me on this day, I said to her, wow, Phil is a really unusual name. Is it short for Philomena?
Right.
And she said, no, it's short for Philip. I'm a man. Live. And I just felt the oxygen. Why did I have to ask and why?
Philomena.
Is it Philomena. Short for Philomena? And why did
I probably would have gone for Philippa first.
Why no? Why? Philomena. What am I doing? Anyway, I said, all I could say was, I am so sorry. It was so awkward. And then he was like, oh no, it's okay. It happens to me all the time. It's fine. Then the next day I brought him in and did a proper apology on air. But from that day, I have never, ever assumed anything in terms of gender, and I've certainly not asked stupid questions like, is it short for Philomena?
You're so bloody ignorant, Chrissy Swan.
Oh, my God.
You're so ignorant.
I wanted the earth to open up and swallow me whole.
27 past 6. Good morning, Melbourne. Ask Brownie.
How the hell is she still working on in the airwaves after
I don't
that?
Know.
What did your PD / co-host say?
Oh, we were laughing too hard.
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's Celebrity Stuff.
So it's Game of Thrones Day today.
Yes.
It's going to be red hot in your Foxtel box at 11 o'clock and then again at 7:30. Oh, God, I love it so.
I'm going to sit down and watch the box series. When we get sacked from this job in a couple of years' time, and I've got plenty of time on my hands, and I'm going to sit down and watch the box series, Game of Thrones, and Sam Pang's Have You Been Paying Attention?
You might get that wish earlier than you, you'd imagine. So Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, has appeared on Jimmy Fallon and has said that he's been using... Because the whole thing, Brownie, was that the cliffhanger from last season was Jon Snow died, and we spent the entire year, a whole year, Game of Thrones fans have been waiting to find out what happened. A whole year. Can you imagine?
Wow.
A whole year. Anyway,
to draw you in.
Yeah, oh my God, it was so exciting. Anyway, he was speeding, which is very naughty and we don't condone it. He was speeding in his car and he got pulled over. And in order to get out of it, he came up with a very nifty idea. Have a listen.
He said, I have to tell you, whether I take you into the police station depends on what your answer is. So I looked at him and went, I'm alive next season. And he goes, he says... Mm-hmm. On your way, Lord Commander.
On your way, Lord Commander.
That is very clever.
So great. So great. Now, I think, do we have a Kanye line there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to explain it first. So Kanye West has, this is only a little one, but it's a bit odd. Tell me if you think this is odd. This is a line from one of his songs. I just left the strip club, got some glitter on me. Wifey gonna kill me, she the female OJ.
Yeah.
Probably not the best.
No. Yeah.
I don't think I'd be going home if she was a female OJ.
Especially over a bit of glitter. My God. Okay, so Gwen Stefani, let me fill you in. Gwen Stefani, ex-lead singer of No Doubt, you know, huge solo career, married to Gavin Rossdale. Yes. Now they've split up because he was sleeping with the nanny. They met up recently and I don't know, I suppose to talk about who gets the CD collection, I don't know. But she looked very sad leaving the meeting, but he looked very relaxed and waved at the paparazzi, even though she's the one who's fallen in love. Now, she is the one of the coaches on The Voice in America she's fallen in love with someone that I've secretly thought was very hot. Another judge there called Blake Shelton. He's a country music guy.
He's huge.
And huge, huge in America. They've fallen in love. What a power couple. Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton. But I'm not sure that there's any excuse for the recent collaboration they've done. Listen to this. Your ears are going to bleed.
In my boots.
No. I mean, we all do weird stuff when we get a new boyfriend. It's like, yeah, I love the 1,000 steps.
But it's popular over there.
Yeah, I'll do it. No problem. No.
And you're laughing all the way to the bank after that.
God, it's spew town. Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.